Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn now to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And if you're a guest with us, we're continuing a series entitled Out of Bondage. Out of Bondage from Exodus chapter 12. I've entitled today's message, Out of Death's Grip. And we're going to learn how the blood applied provides freedom and eternal life. And we're going to see that even in the Old Testament this morning. So let's stand together, make room for folks still coming in here, and we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read here beginning at verse number 21 for our scripture reading. I hope everybody has a Bible. You'll find the scriptures also in your bulletin there, so you can follow along with us there as well. Exodus 12, and we're going to read in verse 21. Everybody ready for some preaching this morning? All right, I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you're here, and let's turn to verse 21 and follow me as we read along. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that he shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would show us the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to bring people out of bondage. And I pray that if there's someone here today that is under the bondage of sin, that you would set them free by the power of the gospel. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we learned how that God had brought plagues down upon the Egyptian people because Pharaoh continuously hardened his heart. And as Moses would go into Pharaoh and say and command, let my people go, Pharaoh continually disbelieved, continually rebelled at the word of God. And we saw those plagues, and I want you to think about it with me. Think about all that the people of Egypt have been through. River had turned to blood, the Nile River, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the cattle disease, the boils, the hail, the locusts, finally the darkness, all of these things coming on a nation because of a leader and a people who were polytheistic, who worshiped the god Isis, and who would not give credence to Jehovah God. And so a final plague is at their doorstep. It is called the death of the firstborn. This plague is pronounced by Moses unto the most powerful leader of the world, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is told that he is to let God's people go. And we see that Pharaoh, each and every time that Moses had given a command to him, Pharaoh had been offering a compromise. You might remember last week. He said, all right, you can worship, but just stay in the land. Don't get too carried away with all of this religion. Just stay close. But God had called them to go 3 days' journey. And the next time, Pharaoh said, well, you can go, just go a little ways. Don't go too far. And the next time, Pharaoh said, well, you can go, just don't take your children. By the way, the devil's an expert at dividing families. And he's always trying some way to play, let's make a deal. Can I just encourage you with something this morning? Never play, let's make a deal with the devil. Because his deals are always bad deals. And so we see here that there is a tremendous compromise effort by the part of Pharaoh. And 9 plagues had come, and he kept wiggling and compromising. And today we see a 10th plague, the death angel coming upon Egypt. This morning, as we come to chapter 12, we're going to see the Lord release this final plague. And this will be the plague that sets the wheels in motion to finally bring the Israelites out of Egypt after 450 years of bondage. And with this last plague, we're going to see that God also establishes a holy day for Israel that is known as the Passover Day. We're also going to see this morning that the Passover Day is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And so I want you to notice in your outline as we begin this morning that God is going to require the children of Israel, in order to avoid the plague of death, a perfect provision on each and every family. There must be a provision in order to avoid the judgment that was coming to Egypt. And I want you to see that in chapter 12 and beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Now, the purpose of the lamb, simply stated, was for the sacrificial blood that was going to be shed by the lamb. And so, if you're taking notes, the perfect provision was the blood of the lamb. And I want you to see that in verse number 5. It says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now notice the phrase there, "without blemish." This lamb was to be a lamb that had no disease, no skin problems, no defects whatsoever, no broken bones. It was to be a perfectly innocent lamb. And why is that important? Because hundreds of years later, when John the Baptist was baptizing at the Jordan River, he looked up and he saw a figure walking toward him. And he said of that man, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Every one of the lambs of the Old Testament whose blood was taken was symbolically foreseeing and foreshadowing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is known as the Lamb of God. I believe it was Josh McDowell who wrote, "Think of it. In order for God to atone for man's sin, someone had to subject himself to death. Yet only one who had unlimited ability to atone for sin could do that. Only a perfect man. He had to have unlimited ability to atone because he would be shedding his blood for all of mankind. He had also to be perfect because God accepts only unblemished sacrifices. Who could do that? Only God. And God the Son shed His own blood for us." You see, the Bible says in Acts 20:28 that God shed His blood for us. Why is that important, Acts 20:28? Because it refers to Jesus Christ as He is God. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And notice in your notes there, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, your sins are not forgiven by giving gold or silver. How are your sins forgiven? Verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so it was that the lamb of the Old Testament was separated from the other lambs, separated out from the goats. And we also see that Jesus Christ was lifted high upon a cross, and there separate from mankind. He died for your sin, and He died for mine. In John chapter 12, He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me." This He said, signifying which death He would die. And so at the time of the Egyptian captivity, the children of Israel brought forth a spotless lamb. And it was also a sacrificial lamb. And I want you to see that in verse 6. It says, "Ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening." So we see that this lamb, this perfect lamb, would be slain for the atoning. It would be slain for a sign of obedience on the part of that particular family. And when we read the word "kill it," We're reminded of the sacrifice of the Lamb and also the Lamb of God. Notice if you would in Hebrews 10:10, the Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. By the way, how many of you are thankful that Jesus Christ offered his blood one and once for all, so that we no longer sacrifice a lamb as they did even on the Day of Atonement, but that we put our trust in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, the Lamb of God, made the sacrifice for our sin. We read about it again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14. And I want you to see this. And many other passages in Hebrews speak of it. But notice this one. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works and to serving the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So we see that Jesus Christ, who brought in the New Testament, made it possible in this new covenant, this age in which we live, whereby our sins are forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was possible because he himself is the testament. He himself made the sacrifice of his own blood. And so we see in the first moments this morning a perfect provision. And the perfect provision was the blood of a perfect lamb. That was the requirement for the post of the children of Israel living in Egypt. And it is the requirement for our salvation today. For the Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. And as Baptists, we believe in the doctrine of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care how many doors you knock, how much money you give, how many times you get baptized in the baptistry, how many religious experiences you have, nothing washes sins away except the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. So on this Thanksgiving week, let us give thanks to God for going to Calvary and shedding his blood for our sin. We see the blood, but notice secondly, the blood applied. Now this is significant also. The blood applied, verse 7. And they that shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Now notice, they were to take the blood, put it in a bowl with a hyssop plant. They were to take this blood and they were to strike the post and they were to strike the top of the door. And the blood would be of no use had it not been applied to the doorpost. The blood had to be applied, and this would be the clear demonstration of obedience on the part of the head of that household, obeying the revelation of God as it was given through Moses. The blood was showing the sacrifice of one life for another, that the sacrifice of this lamb had been made for the atonement, for the protection, for the covering of this family, Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged by blood, and without the shedding of the blood is no remission. So when the death angel came passing through Egypt that night, every family that had the blood on the post was spared. Why? Because of the death of the innocent lamb, yes, but because of the obedience of that family to follow the word of God. The blood being applied was a symbol of their deliverance. And so we begin this morning with a perfect provision, a perfect lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How many of you are thankful that our Savior was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin? Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. Notice secondly, there is a planned Passover. Now we see a perfect provision, but I want you to notice a planned Passover. Look at this in verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. By the way, how many of you like that phrase, I am the Lord? God is essentially saying, I'm going to establish the authority, I'm going to establish my presence, I'm going to show the Egyptians that while they have many gods, while they worship many animals, that there is only one Lord, the I am that I am the Lord. And so we see here there is a planned Passover. Now, what is the purpose of this Passover? Well, the purpose is twofold. First of all, there will be the punishment for the disobedient. The punishment for the disobedient. You see, this word firstborn, it implies not only the oldest, but also can speak of the more prominent, preeminent, or favored one. Because every family is going to have someone's life taken. And I want you to see that in Exodus 12:30, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." So death came to every house in this disobedient nation with this hard-hearted ruler. Death came that night throughout all of Egypt. And may I remind you, my friend, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what we see in the Passover is a picture of what we see at the cross, the provision of blood for our sin, that even though what we deserved was spiritual death and separation, that there is a gift for all who believe. It is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see there would be the punishment to the disobedient, to those who said, we're not putting any blood on our doorpost. That crazy Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. And I don't believe in Moses, God. Death came to those families. But notice, secondly, pardon came to the obedient. To those who believed, and is this not what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, say it with me, believeth shall not perish. It's always been that way. Those who believe and those who reject. The disobedient were punished. But notice the obedient. And I want you to see it in verse 13. And would you grab your Bible and look at this, please, in your Bible? Exodus 12:13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." By the way, how many of you are starting to see the parallel to the New Testament? You starting to see that with me? Let's read verse 13 together and let that sink in, all right? Ready, begin. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." God said, this blood will be a token. It will be a distinguishing mark. It will be a banner. The banner over me is love. It is the love of God. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel will not visit you. And I want to testify this morning to the fact that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your account. And when God sees the blood, there will be no judgment. There will be no tribulation. There will be no hell fire. For when God sees the blood, he'll pass judgment over you. You will not be judged for your sin. For your sin was judged at the cross of Calvary when Jesus died and shed his blood. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My sins were nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. Thank God for the blood that was shed. And God says to us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And all you have to do, my friend, in order to have your sins forgiven and in order to be pardoned, is to believe the very word of God, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these men and women, these children of Israel, They heard the word of Moses and they believed enough to put the blood on the door. And when you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, my friend, the blood is applied by His Spirit to your heart. And God says, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. You will live for all of eternity. We see a perfect provision, the Lamb, the innocent Lamb, a planned Passover, judgment to those who deny and blessing to those who believe. But then notice finally this morning, a perpetual practice. I like this part. I like this part of the chapter. For God establishes something that will be perpetually remembered. I believe on a Thanksgiving week, we ought to be thankful we live in a country that at one time had leaders who would say, let's pause to give thanks to God. That's a testimony to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we live in a Christian nation. We should be thankful for that. That they said, let's have a day of thanksgiving. A day to pause and remember what God has done. Well, notice what they did here in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of that door of his house until the morning. We see this practice was something that was, first of all, practiced by the obedient. The people were responsive. In fact, notice if you would in verse 28, it says, the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. In other words, they didn't say, says who? What is this thing about the blood? I like my little lamb. Who came up with this idea anyways? Thank God for people who obeyed the will of God. They went away and they did what God had commanded them to do. They simply trusted the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This was what they were doing. Listen, friends, there's a lot of things about the Christian life that we cannot explain. There's a lot of things about faith that we cannot explain. I just know this. God said it. That settles it. And that was enough for them. They said, God said this. God has declared that the blood is what is necessary. And so they did it. A few weeks ago, while pastors in the Central Time Zone were preaching on November the 5th, a cold-blooded murderer walked into the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. The pastor was away that week, but when he came back to his church, he not only had to have the funeral service for his 14-year-old daughter, but for half of his congregation. One by one by one, presiding over funeral services. Pastor Pomeroy was interviewed the other day, and someone said, how do you make sense of a tragedy like this? To which the pastor replied, I can't say that I understand, but I know that my God does, and I trust in Him. Friend, there are times in our life when we must simply learn to trust Him. In the realm of salvation, we trust in His Son's finished work. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in a church. We don't trust in a so-called prophet or an emotional experience. We trust in the Word of God. And God says, if you'll call upon me, you shall be saved. And the Bible commanded that they were to kill the Passover. And they obeyed God according to His Word. They displayed faith in verse 22 by striking the blood on the doorpost. And then I want you to notice the Bible says in verse 22, none of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning. And I want you to get that in your mind. Here are these children of Israel. They're gathered family by family. They have sacrificed perhaps tens of thousands of little lambs that night. They gather in their house and they're cloistered, if you will, huddled in their home, and they are there under the covering of the blood, and they're trusting there in that house, just this covering of the Lamb of God that had been made for them, the blood that had been given for them by the innocent Lamb. And they weren't trusting in something else or someone else. The only thing they were trusting in was the Word of God and the blood applied. What are you trusting in? The only thing that I am trusting in for my salvation today is the Word of God, which says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. My faith is built on the Word of God, and my faith is built on the blood atonement. And like those daddies and mommies in Israel in the olden days, as they were there in Egypt, they gathered their family together. They didn't understand all about it. They just knew that God said, put the blood on the post, and when the death angel comes by, he will pass, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so they stayed in their house all night long, trusting God that he would pass over them. And when the morning came, there was no death to their family. And my friend, when you and your little family trust and obey, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you gather around, this building cannot save you, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And I want to tell you, when the morning comes, death will not hold you. The grave will not hold you. Up from the grave, Jesus Christ arose, and all who are in Christ Jesus will rise with him, you see. This is the promise of God. This is the practice of the obedient. I will trust the Word of God. I will trust the blood of God. That's enough for me. He shed his blood. He rose again. That, my friend, is the gospel. And that is what is practiced by a believer. We trust in the Word, and we trust in the blood that was shed. But notice, secondly, there's a permanence in this message as well. We see the practice of the obedient, but finally notice the permanence of this message. And this is interesting. Verse 25, notice, and it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye will say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. God says, now, this holy day that you have just experienced, I want you to remember it annually with a day of Passover, with a Passover feast. Now, folks, listen to me. This Thursday for most Americans is about a day off work. It's about turkey. It's about football. And all of those things are fine in their place. But may we never forget the meaning of the day is to pause and give thanks to our Creator for His many blessings in our life. And God said, you know what? People are so prone to forget. I've blessed and blessed and blessed, and they are so prone to forget. So I want you to establish a permanent day called the Passover. And on that day, I want you to tell your children's 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 children what I did for them. Hey, moms and dads, keep teaching your children, keep teaching your grandchildren about the blood that was applied and about what Jesus has done for you. You see, in this chapter, in verse 13, the Passover was called a token, and it was called in verse 14 a memorial, and it was called a feast, and in verse 17 an ordinance, and in verse 16 an holy convocation, and in verse 26 a service, and in verse 27 a sacrifice. In other words, it was something that was being established as an annual memorial to remember how good God is. By the way, I'm glad that we can pause this week and remember how good God really is for each of us. But not only was it a holy day that was established for the nation, but it was also a moment of personal worship. Why do we say that? Look at verse 27. That ye shall say, notice this, that ye shall say. Would you say that phrase with me? That. So when the children ask you, Dad, why do we go to church? Well, because that's where we worship the resurrected Lord on the first day of the week. But Dad, why did you get baptized? Because that signifies death to the old life and resurrection to the new life. But Dad, why did you put money in the offering? Because that's how we ascribe worth to our God. But Dad, why do we help the missionaries? Because Jesus said, go into all the world. But Dad, why don't we watch that television show? Because the Bible says we should set no wicked thing before our eyes. And pretty soon when the children ask, the Bible says that ye shall say. In other words, it's not just a national religion. Hey, I'm sorry to tell you, just because it says in God we trust on our money doesn't mean we live in a Christian nation. We've got to make it personal, don't we? And he says, then ye shall say. So this is a personal time of worship. In other words, in this particular sacrifice of the blood, this was not the priests. right? On the Day of Atonement, Aaron went into the holy place, and Aaron sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and that was called the Day of Atonement, and the priest did that. And there was the course of Abiah, the priest, during the time of John the Baptist day, and they could offer sacrifice. But this was offered by the heads of the household. And what I'm saying is, moms and dads, we need to bring the next generation along with us by making it our own faith and trusting in the Lord. This was given to every family to remember the Lord. And so the Passover became for Israel a memorial. Long before so-called Christmas and Easter, there was a memorial given to the Jews to remember, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And by the way, we have a memorial that's very similar. We also call it an ordinance. We have two ordinances in the Baptist church. One is called baptism, and what's the other one called? The Lord's Supper or communion. And when we take that bread, it reminds us of the body that was broken 2,000 years ago. And when we take that juice, it reminds us of the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago. Unlike the false teachings of the Roman church, we do not believe that the juice becomes the blood. We do not believe in transubstantiation. We believe the juice is a picture of the blood. But the blood, the juice does not save us. Jesus saves us. But we take the juice to remember what was done for us on the cross of Calvary. Look in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 11:24, as we close. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." An ordinance. We have ordinances. For example, we have an ordinance on the freeway. It is 65 miles per hour. An ordinance is something to cause you to remember. Just a little thought for your driving tomorrow. It's an ordinance. It doesn't mean we always remember like we should. But the sign is there. It is an ordinance. God says, "I've given my baptism, I've given my communion as an ordinance so that you'll not forget me." He said to the children of Israel, "Would you stop once a year and remember how I delivered you from Egypt? Remember the blood on the posts." And he says to the church, "Would you remember me and would you give thanks to me for what I have done?" And may every one of us this week take time to remember what the Lord has done for us. For the Bible says the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Last night I was sitting in a room at home, and my wife already has one room completely decorated for Christmas. She's a planner. We have a tree in there and a little village underneath it she's assembled over the years. And three or four of our grandkids came running through the front door, and they ran right into that room. They laid down, they looking at that village, trying to figure out the church and the store and, you know, all the different things. And one of the kids said to me, "Papa, tell us a story." Now, I don't know how it goes for some of you, but for me, after a while, you run out of stories. You just start making them up. You know what I'm talking about? I started telling them the story about two boys at Christmas and what they wanted. And I was just telling them, boy, they were listening so intently, seated on my lap. And I said, "You know, but the best part of Christmas, the best gift of Christmas, the Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has a gift that's so awesome, and that gift is his Son, Jesus, the perfect Son of God. He came and he loved us so much that he shed his blood on the cross, and his blood covered the sins of the whole world." And my little granddaughter McKenna, she said, "Even now, Papa, even now." I'm so thankful that the blood wasn't just for the children of Israel. I'm so thankful that it wasn't just for the first century. I'm so thankful that that blood still speaks. And it says, "Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven." The songwriter said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." And my friend, yes, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but the forgiveness of his blood is still available for anyone that would simply believe like those daddies of old in Egypt. They didn't understand the blood on the doorpost, but they believed. And if you would believe this morning that there's a God in heaven who loves our sin-sick souls, and he sent his Son to shed his blood to be the final and perfect Lamb of God, even today, you could know the meaning of forgiveness, the covering of sin. And God would say, when I see the blood, I won't send you to hell. When I see the blood, I won't condemn you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will forgive you.